Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supracut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
3, 2.
All right. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. We are at the World Food Championships 2023 in Dallas, Texas. All right. So, obviously, I got the Poochie Pooch over here, Chef Pooch Rivera from Louisiana, and hit him up on his IG, Foodie Patootie. All right. I have with us here in studio this giant building, the J. Dakota.
My
man. We've been threatening each other for you to be here doing this for days now.
Well, we practically wrestled a couple times.
Almost just now.
Mark Henry was going to be there refereeing.
Well, by the way,
I was going to tag him in. I'm just saying. You know, I'll be like, hey, I'll be like this. Hey, Mark Henry, can you tell me what you think about, he's like, well,
it doesn't matter what you,
you know, that's The Rock.
I know that.
Oh, okay.
I was being The Rock.
Oh, you're The Rock.
I was putting a smack
down. It doesn't matter what you think.
All right.
You know, Pooch and I go back like a decade.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I did not know that. All right, watch it.
Maybe
you know
longer
what?
Than a decade.
At least.
At least a decade.
I tell you what. Listen. I am no longer the host of the Walk and Talk podcast. The host now, forevermore, for the next 8 minutes, is going to be Poochie Pooch Rivera.
Well, I'll take it from this one standpoint. There's two people here right now. Jada Cody is the first person who ever mentioned the word podcast to me.
Oh, wow.
And I looked at him like he was speaking Chinese, Mandarin. Mm-hmm. What is that? What's going on? Then there's a lot of other people. Shout out to Chuck P. And
my man.
And Chuck P. is my man, too. I love that dude. But very much so.
Chuck D's cool, too.
Chuck D,
yeah.
Public Enemy.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Welcome back to the World Championships here in Dallas, Texas.
Jay, enlighten me to this world. I want to give a shout out to another person who's Tatum Garden, who's right behind us doing a live feed. But she put me on the old time, the New Orleans Famous podcast, which has kind of brought us to the fact that there is now an old time New Orleans food podcast. But Jada Cody, dude. Good to see you, man. I haven't seen you in at least 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's great to see people back that in food fam, back in a food environment, food competition, and you've been hosting these. You've been kind of been on the forefront of these. I'm pretty sure I heard about this, or you were actually the MC when I won the golden ticket to come to the food.
Yeah, back in Orange Beach days.
Back in Orange Beach days, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so this is World Food Championships number 11, and I've been to 8 out of the 11, including the past 7, I guess. I think I was at number 2 in Las Vegas, and then all of them in Orange Beach and all of them in Dallas so far. So, it's the World Food Championships has been something I've been a part of quite a bit, like since 2015, been to all of them. So, something that I kind of put on my calendar every year and stay involved in. And now I really pretty much show up and host, MC, judge, and am just kind of one of the faces of the competition in a lot of those ways. A lot of stuff on stage and a lot of stuff with microphones and then a lot of judging and stuff like that too.
Can you tell the world out there what it takes to get to that point, but what did you specifically do to get to this point?
Well, so you know, World Food Championships is food sport and is culinary competition at its finest, and really kind of taking a lot of what you see on TV and in competitive cooking and bringing it to a bigger audience and a larger field of chefs, and it's more competitive cooking and not quite as gimmicky as something like a Chopped or Cutthroat Kitchen or Guy's Grocery Games on Food Network, and then there's other competitions all over the place, but I think a lot of the success that I had on those national platforms, beating Bobby Flay, finishing runner-up on Food Network Star, those kind of things have led me to be kind of in the position where I get to come to something like this and be one of the celebrities of it and be on stage and host stuff. And kind of I've proven myself in the competition world on the national TV shows. So when I'm at a place like this, they just kind of put me on stage instead of having to come compete here.
Well, listen, you know, with a career in anything, whether it's in the kitchen or in the front of the house or I'm an IT guy or whatever you do, you have your timeline in that field, right? Mm-hmm. And however it is that you started to get into it, now you're on a trajectory, right? So you do some Food Network shows, you come here. It's a marriage of both worlds. And actually, whatever you do, you know, in your regular time, regular life,
sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're all in this journey, and you know, some people are a little bit further along than others in that path.
Yeah.
I think that's super cool. And if you look at it in that context or that perspective, around here for the past few days, you see the newcomers, you see some of the folks who've been here, for, you know, multiple years and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and you see the difference of it. But everybody kind of comes together around the food.
Yep.
And that, I think, is what the secret sauce is, so to speak. No pun here intended. I think that's the secret ingredient.
Well, you know, Jay is really the full package, too, because Jay started off as a kind of food journalist.
Mm-hmm.
Then you went into the chef world. Then you went into having your own line of products, a restaurateur after that, then your own radio show. At the same time, juggling being on TV, Food Network Star, doing all these things. I mean, you truly are, you know, you got to put you on a pedestal because you've done it all and you're seasoned, yeah. You know? And a lot of people think that they can do one thing and next thing you know, I'm just this. And it's like, no, you've actually eaten crow and actually, you know, made it to the top ladder by ladder, falling down a couple of steps, going back up. And like,
sure.
it's a good feeling to know you. It's a good feeling to be back here with you, you know, all that stuff. And it just, and it brings back good memories, man. I'm like, you know, just dogging it out in the kitchen with you and like,
yeah,
you're trying to get things done and last minute. And
you were there for a lot of those super early, like cutting my teeth kind of pop-ups and stuff, cooking at breweries, cooking at bed and breakfast, pop-ups in restaurants, but you know, pop-ups and trying to sell tickets to creative culinary events where we were just playing, but trying to make something of it and make a name for ourselves.
Very much so.
And doing it through radio and podcasts and social media, but then also through food and through cooking and just building a culinary brand in all of those ways. And I think you're right. It's kind of that that culinary renaissance man mentality of like, I don't think it was. I can tell you, it was never something that I thought, this is the path, this is what I want to do. In the next 5 years, I want to do all of these things.
Like, it wasn't on your dream board.
Oh, right, it wasn't. It just kind of worked out that way. That's just the way that life went.
So you mentioned food journalism. What was that about?
So I really got into the food world through blogging. And then the next thing that I turned to after the success of the blog was other food writing. So I got a master's degree in political science and then said, I don't want to be a political scientist for the rest of my life. Didn't go on to get a PhD. Taught high school math and coached baseball for 2 years. Then got a job doing grant writing and policy research for the state of Louisiana. I was bored out of my mind. Started writing about food instead of healthcare grants while I was sitting in a cubicle just being bored. And that food writing turned into a blog, but then the blog turned into other freelance food writing opportunities, and I was able to write for other magazines and newspapers, and the food writing is really kind of for my own blog, and then finding ways to write for other publications is what led to radio and podcasts and everything else.
Hold on, because you're talking, you're saying this, and you said I'm in a cubicle, man, and you're like, I'm bored out of my mind. I'm in a cubicle, and your window to the world was the food. The food kind of like opened the horizons. It literally opened the window for you, figuratively as well. But then you jumped out the window. And you actually made a life in it.
Yeah.
So you in your confinement, you know, we all. Well, I mean, I've worked in cubicles for a short period of time too. It's brutal, And what you did was you said, oh man, my Windows, my laptop, or, you know, Windows, my laptop, and I can see the world. And then the freaking window opened, you jumped out, here you are, you did all this other stuff. To me, I think there's a story in that one little piece. That little piece, I think, would make a terrific story.
Yeah.
You don't, that story doesn't, no, it doesn't stop there, no, but that's the focus. I think that would be inspirational to millions of people. That part, that vein, man. To me, because when you're talking to me, that's what I hear, and I'm like, my goodness, that was me? That was me?
So, honestly, most of the true professional keynote speeches that I've done have been telling a version of that story.
That's beautiful.
Have been telling the how I quit my day job to eat and drink for a living story. And it goes back all the way to that. To
the cubicle.
To, you know, my degrees and teaching and cubicle and leading to there, and then how I went from taking the risk of quitting that day job and trying to eat and drink for a living, and then the journey thereof to get to where I am now. But that process is a big part of that speech.
So Jay, what's in the works right now that you're what's coming up next for you? I mean, obviously we're here, we're doing this. This is prime time right now. What do you have coming up?
Yeah, 2024 is going to be a wild one. I've got a few big things on the calendar already. I should be in Puerto Rico the month of July. And I'll be teaching a college class in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, the month of September. And the rest of the year, I'm going to be all over the place. I'm going to be doing a few food tours, some where I'm cooking, some where I'm just traveling and experiencing and inviting people to come with me. I know I'm going to be booking a lot of catering and private dinners and stuff like that in between. When I'm home, the calendar's starting to fill up already. I'll be in Washington, D.C. for an event called Washington Mardi Gras. That's a big Louisiana celebration of culture in our nation's capital. Yeah, D.C. Mardi Gras. I'll be there in late January. I mean, I could pull out the calendar and start flipping through it. It's mostly full already.
Your calendar is full, unlike me, right, at this moment here.
You know, we have two Louisiana boys sitting here, and we really have to give the props to Billy Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor, State of Louisiana, who really helps out chefs and showcases Louisiana seafood, Louisiana industry, Louisiana culture to the world. And he's really propelling a lot of chefs and giving them those platforms to be able to go to D.C. Mardi Gras, go to different things in different cities. And I've had the honor to, you know, go with you and Ryan Andre to Austin and do all these different things with chefs that the state, you know, takes care of the tab and makes sure that we're showcasing our bounty to, you know, the world. And it's a great opportunity. So shout out to the Lieutenant Governor's office.
Yeah, the Lieutenant Governor's office provided some funding for a Louisiana team that's here right now. There's a bunch of sponsors, but Louisiana Seafood's one of them.
And that was awesome. We got to cook with them last night at their Airbnb.
Nice.
Soft shell crawfish. We used chewies as the batter. I mean, then topped it with that sauce. It was amazing, dude. It was amazing. If you weren't at the bar last night, we would have been able to be invited.
That's my favorite mezcal bar in all the land. I had to be there.
Dude, let me tell you something. I'm not a big, you know, crawfish guy. Like, whatever that y'all did last night,
Chef Jeffrey Schlissel did last night.
Legit.
I want that in my life on a regular basis now. I feel like I'm going to gain another 15 pounds, man. Damn it. I don't want to.
Come hang on Louisiana. You will.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Easily.
It's literally, they're happy weight. It's happy weight, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
This SOB over here, he gave me 25 pounds I put on in not a lot of time.
Come on, man. It was the best, funnest 25 pounds you've ever put on.
I've been saying it. I have been absolutely saying it.
I was Mickey. He was Rocky. And I was like, no, you got to go five more, Rocky. Come on, five more slices of bacon.
Have another piece of bacon.
Another piece.
You're a bum, Rock.
I can't do it, Mick. Yeah, it was crazy, man. Really crazy. Anyway, how does everybody find you?
Jay Ducote on all social media channels at JAYDUCOTE. JAYDUCOTE. So that's Instagram. Facebook page, Jay Ducote, Twitter or X, TikTok, all of it. JayDucote.com as well, and then there's links to all that. And so, yeah. find all those social platforms and the website.
What we'll do, we'll get on the calendar, we'll do a call-in, and we'll get a little bit deeper into kind of like the some roots of this, okay?
Carl, I would love that, man.
Yeah, that would be great, man.
Yeah, let's schedule that for sure.
I appreciate you being on the program.
So glad y'all are here at the World Food Championships. I love this event, and this is such a great place for you guys to be with this podcast and the show. Makes all the sense in the world.
I freaking love this. The team, we all freaking love it. Thanks for having us here.
Miss Silent Sean.
I sent him a I literally sent him a text about 30 minutes ago saying, bro, wish you was here, man. Wish you was here. Just like that. All right. Poochie Pooch, appreciate you being on this episode. Thank you very much. We are out.
Thank you, Jack. Love you, boy. I appreciate you.
Love you, bud.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.